Some of you heard, if you read your emails early this morning, Swami Kriyananda, the founder of Ananda, took a minor fall last night. We think it was minor, but he did hit his head. He just stumbled in his own living room. Fortunately, he fell on a piece of hard furniture. Fortunately, he hit his shoulder first and then his head, so it wasn't the full impact. They did a CAT scan, and there's nothing obvious. He's on Coumadin, and his blood is thin, so they have to watch for the possibility of a slow bleed. Whether he'll do a satsang today is unknown, so we've made all our changes, so we'll just turn on at 11 and see who smiles at us at that point. He's in good spirits, because he's always in good spirits, but he was doing very, very well, but this is just a hazard of being elderly. Fortunately, every time he falls, something mitigates it a little bit, so it's not too bad. But before we go on with the sermon, maybe we can just stop and send him healing energy. So visualize Swamiji, visualize his Guru Master, our Guru Master, Paramahansa Yogananda, with him in the spirit, just blessing him, holding his hand, surrounding him with divine light. Feel that our prayers make like a second aura around Swamiji of protective gratitude. And then we'll rub our hands together and visualize the divine light flowing into him and all around him, healing him and lifting him. Om. Om. The life of the Buddha, well known now and brought to our minds because the Dalai Lama has been visiting in our area. The life of the Buddha is very interesting because when Buddha was born, he was the son of a very powerful king. And that king naturally wanted a son, as all kings do, to carry on his kingdom. And when that son was born, there were enormous signs in the heavens, auspicious signs of the great potential of this son. But the signs were a little bit mixed. And when the astrologers and the seers and the oracles that the king called were to read those signs, they said that your son indeed will be a great man. And he will either be a great king, perhaps the greatest you know in all of the history of your kingdom, or he's going to renounce it all and become great as a monk and a mendicant. Well, people being as we are, more real to ourselves than anything else, the king naturally thought the best thing for his son to do was to be just like him. So he set about, because the seers also said that your son must be protected from a knowledge of the great threefold suffering of life, which is old age, disease, and death. So the story of the life of Buddha is the story of how for all of his early years, his father built a private universe for him and never allowed him to see beyond it. Everything within that vast arena of his own play garden, so to speak, was always kept pristine. You know, leaves never browned, flowers never wilted. Anyone with the slightest sign of age on their face was taken away. Illness was hidden. And so he just grew up thinking that life was a paradise. And without going into the whole story, which is really a marvelous story, eventually curiosity gets the better of him. And the first time he goes out, his father, the king, controls everything. And even though he's going out into his kingdom, still this pristine picture of life on this planet is unbroken. But one ailing man breaks through. And so this elderly, palsied, wrinkled, toothless person comes, and the poor Buddha has never seen anything like this, and he's just completely horrified and goes back to the palace and then speaks to one of his close companions, and they sneak out, and he gets a real picture of what life is like. And he sees old age, disease, and death, which is symbolic of change and a disturbance of the harmony and the fact that nothing in this world lasts forever. And when, as soon as he sees that, he turns to his friend and he said, then, given that this is the inevitable consequence of life on this planet, why are we living the way we live? Why are we just trying to find as much pleasure as possible when this is what's really going on behind it? Now, of course, it's the strangest thing in spiritual life because it's sort of like, like Master said, he wrote this little poem and he said, I slept and thought that life was beauty. I woke and found that life was duty. I slept and thought that life was duty. I woke and found that life is beauty. And that's the innocence of ignorance versus the purity of wisdom. Swamiji is fond of telling this joke about this little six-year-old girl. Little six-year-old boy says to her, are you a virgin? She says, not yet. Meaning she doesn't even yet know what it is to be one, and therefore she won't become one until knowledge sets in. And so that's, in a sense, sort of the process that we go through. We are like little children. To the saints, we all look like little children. That's why often the saints, no matter how young they are, call us my children. Master used to always refer to the monks as my boys. Some of them were older than he, but he would still call them my boys because it was just, that's what they were. That's what we all are compared to self-realization. We're just wandering around this world like children, and we don't quite necessarily have as much fun as children do, but nonetheless. But we're born into this world, and we have this natural idea, if we have any good karma at all, you know, that, you know, everything's going to be fine, and we have this optimism and this belief. And we just think it's going to be easy. I mean, how many high school kids think they're going to do this or that, these wonderful things, and every poor child thinks he's going to be rich, and everybody who doesn't like his parents is certain he's not going to be anything like them, and just all the different things that we resolve. And then we get into that middle grinding period where we discover it's not so easy in this world to make things happen. And much more effort and discipline is required, and karmic forces fight against our success. I mean, I don't have to tell you all about it. It's not really that gruesome. But when we enter into that with maturity and realism and deep attunement, we gradually discover that the dream of, that the apparent effort and suffering is also an illusion. And then we wake again and we discover that underneath all of this, there's this flowing river of grace. And the saints and the masters are the only ones who have really transcended the limitations of this world and can speak of it without qualification. I feel the rest of us glimpse it from time to time, strongly affirm it, and depending on our faith and experience, we have varying degrees of realization of that truth. And the degrees of our realization is the measure of our suffering. Just as simple as that. Because the conditions of this world simply are what they are. This is the way this planet was made. I was reading recently in this wonderful book of Swamiji's. I've been doing these webinars every other Friday, and the topic for this month is death, dying in the astral world. So I got to sort of frolic a little in the astral world, at least in terms of reading and study. There's a wonderful book Swami Kriyananda has written. It's called How to Be a True Channel. I don't think it is what it is. The name of it doesn't help you understand what's in it. It's actually out of print, but thank God for the internet and all those systems. You can buy it for 24 cents here and there. It's really worth getting. There's this marvelous chapter in the middle just talking about the astral world. And the astral world, the heavenly spheres of the astral world, because there are also hells, the heavenly spheres of the astral world are to a very large extent, for many of us, the world that we remember. And it's sort of the world that we think that we're in, and we're always a little surprised by what this one is like. In the astral world, because we're working just with energy and consciousness, and the astral world is the world we go to between our incarnations, between our physical incarnations. We don't get to stay there until we've completely finished with this world, but we get to rest there. And there, everything is done by energy and consciousness. And I have this remarkable quality about myself that no matter how many times, literally, no matter how many times I say this to myself, it still comes in and surprises me. It's a very simple thing. Everything takes longer. No matter what the project is, no matter how many times I've done it, oh, we have to make an afternoon tea for 60 people, that'll be fine. We'll just do it on Saturday. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is what it actually really takes, you know, or Saturday for 24 hours, because everything takes longer every single time, because there's still this, like, memory of being in the astral world. Oh, we want to create a beautiful flower. There's the flower. We want to have wonderful taste. There they are. And it's just this sort of sense of how things are supposed to be. And we're constantly just crashing up against what isn't. Now, the masters try in every way they possibly can to communicate to us sort of the beauty beyond the duty, the bliss beyond the apparent non-bliss. And they tell us stories, they draw us pictures, they transfer the consciousness, they give us dreams and visions, they give us good meditations, they carefully reason it out one way or another. And it's a very simple thing. It's like you people are caught in a reality that appears solid to you, but is not what it seems. And here's the map, here's the key. This is exactly how you do it. And it's a little bit hard to communicate because it's not something that, it's not that they wouldn't give it to us, but it's a vibration. And if we're not vibrating on that level, they can even vibrate right next to you with the same exact, but if you're vibrating a little differently, you can't blend into it. You know, when you hear two people sing and they're a little bit dissonant, and if the dissonant person doesn't have the ear to hear or the control to shift, then the right note can be right there and you just keep singing the wrong note. I have a mediocre musical talent, but a sensitive word talent, and I know that I'll be trying to help someone read something and I'll hear the way they read it and I'll say, no, why don't you try to say it like this? And they'll very sincerely say, okay, and then they'll just read it exactly as they read it. And it's just because it's not trained. I'm very sympathetic because someone will say, why don't you sing it like this? And, you know, I have no idea. And it's many different things. You know, some people have a very exact sense of visual and a very sensitive with their fingers. Here, just place it just like that. So you place it just like that, but it's completely different. Because we literally can't find the vibration. And the process of our spiritual growth, and this is what the masters are trying to teach us, is the gradual attunement of our own vibration. Because in fact, how would you say it? Way deep inside of us, at our origin point, at our core, we all vibrate in perfect attunement with the infinite. Because we are nothing but infinite vibrations. But we've taken our little note and we've just moved it far enough away that we can no longer, we can't find the connection yet. And what the masters are doing is they're not giving us something we don't have. They're just constantly repeating the right vibration through words, images, grace, all the things that I just said is a constant repetition of the right vibration so that we'll gradually be able to bring ourselves into alignment with it. And what we're doing by bringing ourselves into alignment is really, we're just letting go of, well, sometimes when we do kirtans, we have this basket of noisemakers, I should say, rhythm instruments. You know, you can ring this bell like this, and you can shake this little shaker, and you can bang these things together, and sometimes it contributes, and sometimes it doesn't, you know. But we pick them up, and we start doing them like this. And over here is the original sound, whatever it is, and we think we're playing along like that. And we think we're adding. We think we're having a good time. And sometimes we are, and sometimes we're not. And so we sort of get used to whatever we are. We get used to being this ego person. And this ego person who's had different names and different bodies over many lifetimes still is essentially the same ego person. And it keeps coming into new bodies, and it starts, you know, it picks up new shakers and starts going like this, right? And sometimes we think we're having a really good time. And meanwhile, the true sound of our true nature is just oming in the background. And the masters are trying to just pull us into that. And they pull us by one really simple way, by the joy of attunement. And another way also, by the pain of suffering. You know, dissonance is very unpleasant, whether it's dissonance with each other or dissonance with ourselves or dissonance with God. So these two realities interplay all the time. The dissonance that comes when we're not on the right vibration, and the pleasure that comes when you hit the note just right, when you're just exactly right there. And as I was saying earlier, it happens in all these different ways. And in our scripture today, which is just one of the most simple and profound of all the phrases that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Just as simple as that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first to bring your vibration into attunement with the inner Om. Because once we're walking in attunement, everything else about our lives, not only, it's not necessarily the promise that then, oh, guess what? Then the whole nature of the planet will be different. You'll never get old, you'll never get sick, you'll never die. I mean, Jesus doesn't promise that. But everything else that you seek will be added unto us. Because what are we seeking? What is the suffering of old age, disease, and death? It's the seeming loss of that which we treasure. And so it's really just a question, and this is why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we seek first to be in tune with that higher vibration, then once we have that attunement, even to any small degree, we have everything else that we're seeking. And so that's why the masters are so disinterested in so many things that seem so important to the rest of us. And that's why they're also sometimes indifferent to conditions in our lives that seem so important to us. There's a story of a disciple, I think it was Swami Shankarananda, Adi Shankara, Shankaracharya. And one of his disciples was very, very nervous all the time. Well, sir, what if I do this and that? This may happen to me? And she said, but what if I risk that, then I may die. And he looked at her and he said, die then. And she did, just right on the spot, like that. Because it was like, it was so important to her, all these things. I mean, that was the ultimate one. It was just even to maintain her life. But he thought, somehow you need to understand that to lose your life is no loss. That was what Jesus said to us last week in this reading. He wasn't literally necessarily talking about dying, but symbolically so. But he thought it's worth it, that Shankaracharya thought about his disciple, to help her get over this fear, it's worth it. You know, she's just got this noisemaker over here and she's shaking it and think that that's going to put her in, you know, in tune with the music. But in fact, what puts us in tune with the music is to always have as our first priority to be in that consciousness. And you see, the other thing about this, and this is what Swamiji is touching on today, this is extremely practical. Because whenever, if we actually analyze our life experience, we realize that the things that happen to us can be a problem. But the real problem we experience is the way we feel inside about what's happening outside. And what's happening outside might be a challenge, that's for sure. It might require more energy than we expected to put out. It might require changes in circumstances that we didn't want. It might be all sorts of things, but it's really how we feel inside that determines our experience. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first to be in tune with that omnipresent Om vibration, and then wherever God asks you to walk, you'll always be walking in that strength. Because even the Buddha's father, by the greatest effort, could not really change the conditions of the planet. You know why? Because God wants us to learn something more than just how to be comfortable with a little tiny bit of satisfaction. The answer, as I was saying last week, I think it was, or the week before, or perhaps every other week that I've stood here, is that the truth is, what we think is loss is actually gain. What we think is satisfaction is just the merest hint of what's really ours. And in a way that is peculiar to understand, but is blissfully uplifting when we finally know it, we realize that every challenge God sends us is a challenge of love, is a gift of love. And that's where, you know, our attunement, nothing can help us except our attunement in that respect. And we have to practice when it's easier, recognizing behind our experiences that loving voice of God, that loving voice of God, that loving grace of God that says, oh, honey, I know you thought you were having such a good time and you had it all worked out, didn't you? Isn't that darling? But no, that's really not it. You know, just like that. I'm so sorry, sweetheart, but that's really not it. You know, let's try again, okay? But you see, if you're standing right there with someone who you know really loves you, whose love you have learned to trust through long and deep experience, and in this case, long and deep practice and prayer, then even though you say, oh, really, we have to do this again, I have to put on my boots and my backpack and do this again, it's all right, we're going to go. We'll do it together because the view from this mountain is good, but the view from that mountain, that's the one that will really fulfill my heart forever. So God bless you.